Another one of the benedictions that we'll be talking about, and this time from the New Testament, one of the Apostle Paul's benedictions. Romans 15, 4 through 6. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said before, I'm continuing in this series of sermons on the biblical benedictions. And in the first sermon on the subject, I talked about a benediction found in the Old Testament. And now I want to shift to the New Testament. As I went through this, I was really quite surprised as to how many benedictions we find in the New Testament. Most of them from the Apostle Paul and from his letters and to the church, various churches. I want to remind you about what a benediction is or what a blessing it is. It is a blessing given to either a person or to a group of people, spoken over them. And as I said last time, people can either receive it or not receive it. But it is something that is given as meant to be a blessing to those people. The benediction I want to look at today, we can see several different themes in it. And I want to list those themes, and then we'll go back and look at each one individually. First, there is the endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures. Next, there is the spirit of unity among Christians. And finally, there is a common purpose in glorifying God through worship. The end result of all this being that we might have hope, that it might bring hope to us. So let's look at the first theme, which is the endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures. We could all stand up and testify today, I'm sure, that the Scriptures, the Bible, has meant much to each one of us. And perhaps we have favorite parts of the Bible that we like to study and look at, think about. But we know that the Bible was written, as Paul wrote, because it was given to teach us. Why? Teach us what? So that through the endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. According to Paul, the Scriptures, which were for him and for those in his time, would have consisted of the Old Testament, and were intended to teach us so that we might be encouraged and we might be able to endure. I'm sure we've all been encouraged by the Scriptures, and we've been enabled to endure more because of it. Not easy to live the Christian life in our time. We all know that. We face a different kind of challenge than the people of Paul's day did as compared to those Christians. But as I said before, the culture in which we live, and you're all aware of this, has changed dramatically and in a relatively short time. Standards that were once pretty well accepted by most people have been thrown aside, have been cast aside, and have been lowered to accommodate those people who, it seems like, don't even like our country or don't even like our way of life. But just let one person say about something that is happening or something that is being done, that offends me. And what do we have to do? We have to change everything because of that one person's offense. Those people simply do not like our country or like our way of life, and they want us to change in order to make them feel, I guess, more comfortable. For us as Christians, it's easy for us, maybe, as we look at this whole situation, look at the way things have changed, way all the things are coming about, it could be easy for us to become discouraged. Say, what in the world is going to happen? What is happening in this world? What is happening in our country? What's happening in our own city? We may even feel like it's so oppressive, so bearing down on us all the time, that we get discouraged to the point of wanting to give up. That's when we realize at times that we need some encouragement. Have you ever thought in your own heart, today I need some encouragement. I need somebody to just say a word of encouragement to me, or speak a word of encouragement to me, or somebody to come along and just pat me on the back, or somebody lift me up, or somebody to help me in some way. Let me ask you this. Where do you go when you are looking to receive encouragement? Where do you go? Do you look to your family? Do you look to your friends? Do you look to your fellow Christians to lift you up when you're feeling down? Seems to me like of all places in this world, we should be able to come into the church. We ought to be able to come into our, with our fellow Christians, and they would want to help us, lift us up, and encourage us. It's very easy for us to have to look at life and maybe feel like sometimes it's a hopeless situation. I guess when we come into the church and our fellow Christians gather around us and they pray for us and they lift us up, we could call that a faith lift, couldn't we? And we need that from time to time. All of us do. Think about where would you go when you are having a hard time, when you're going through a difficult period in your life. I can remember back in my own life when things were kind of rough, things were not going real well, and I had a group of people around me at that time, and they all wanted to help me, and I appreciated that very much. But, you know, there's some times when people just can't help you that much. You have to find that in yourself. You have to find it alone. And I remember also that I turned to the Scriptures. I turned to the Bible, began to read and began to study, and I found the answers there. It didn't have to solve all the problems, but it was a big help. I'm sure some of you could say the very same thing, that maybe in a times of trouble or times of hardship or just a difficult period of your life, you're going through something, and the Word of God spoke to you in that time and lifted you up and helped you and encouraged you. There are times in our lives when the Word of God is not only the best answer, but it is the only answer. The thing that we have to turn to in our times of need. I have found personally that the book of Psalms is such a great encouragement to me. When I need a little lift up, or when I need an encouragement or encouraging word, when I need some, maybe hear the Lord speaking to me about something, I go to the book of Psalms, and there I find great encouragement. I'm sure that all of you could say that there are different parts of the Bible or different places in the Bible that give you encouragement as well and have kept you going. Of course, we know that the Bible doesn't really help us unless we pick it up, open it up, and read it and study it. There's been a strong attack in our time on the authority of the Bible, leading some people to conclude that, well, maybe the Bible's not as important as it used to be, or maybe the Bible's just not all that important to us anymore. It makes me feel a little ashamed when I read about the people in other countries and what they go through sometimes in order just to obtain a copy of the Scriptures, so precious to them. There may be a congregation, I was recently reading about a congregation in China, and only one person in that whole congregation, it was a fairly large congregation, had a copy of the Scriptures. And they all just gathered around that person and they read the Scriptures with that person. And one day a group from American Bible Society went there and they had Bibles for all the people in that church. And they were just so happy. They rejoiced, they worshiped, they gave God thanks for all that, because at last they had a copy of the Word of God for themselves. I don't know about you, I probably got 10 copies of the Bible in my home. And I probably don't read it as much as I ought to. And we have easy access to the Word of God today. We should be thankful for that, that we can read it and study it anytime we want to. And we should want to as much as possible. The strategy of the enemy is to discredit the Word of God, downplay the importance of the Bible. And it's had an effect, as you know. Paul was right when he said that the Scriptures are a source of strength and stability for us. It's sort of like the rock on which our faith is established and built and holds us up. We must not neglect or forsake the Word of God. The next part of this benediction is the unity among Christians. The restoration movement of which we are a part was birthed out of a desire for the unity of all Christians. And there was a strategy, there was a way that was supposed to be attained, and that was by returning and following the simple pattern of the New Testament church. It's a wonderful idea, but unfortunately, the Christian world was unwilling to give up their traditions and their entrenched beliefs. I don't know how you feel about Christian unity, but I believe that the church, being divided as it is, has been rendered much weaker because of it. The church has been rendered weak because of the disunity that we have in the body of Christ. We have many different camps, as you all know, and they're all trying to convince people that they have the way, that their way is probably the right way, or in some cases, their way is the only way. And it's confusing to people when they see all of this different kind of competition among Christians, when actually we should be working together to save the world, to bring the world to Christ. As you all know, in the 17th chapter of John, Jesus prayed a very important prayer. It was a prayer for unity among his followers. He prayed that all of his followers might be one. Now, why did he pray that? So that we could all look real good before the world? I don't think so. He prayed that prayer for the unity of his followers of the church so that the world might believe. And the reason why perhaps the world has not believed to the extent that we would like to see the world believing is because of that disunity. Because we do not present a united front to the world, and the world looks at us and says, well, you guys get your act together and then maybe we'll listen to you. And that's something we really need to see happen. To a certain extent, the church has had an impact on the world. But as you all know, there are still many, many, many people who have never received Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. In fact, I'm sure that there are people right around this area, many people right around this area, who have never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's work to do. Many people who have never believed in Him. What would happen if all Christians would lay down their preconceived notions and their man-made traditions and come together for one purpose only, and that is to carry out the Great Commission? You know, when Jesus left this earth, before He ascended to the Father, He gave us, His people, the church, a commission, a Great Commission. And He told us to go forth into all the world and to make disciples of all nations. And to some extent, we have done that. But there are still many places that need to know about the gospel. I think it would be so wonderful if we could see all of God's people, all Christians, come together for one purpose, and that is the kind of unity that we need to see in order to see that Great Commission carried out. I had a taste of that in my life one time, something called the Lay Witness Mission. It was people coming together from different churches in order to do one thing, and that was to exalt Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I don't know what really the dynamic was in all of that, but you know, there never was any question about what churches people attended or what denomination they were a part of or what background they had. But I know it was very powerful, and I know that the Holy Spirit was in it. And I believe that when God's people come together and when they pray and when they work together in a united way, that great things can happen. And I believe that that is something that God wants to see happen. I believe that's something that Jesus, the head of the church, wants to see happen as well. When we come together in unity just to praise and worship God and exalt His Son, Jesus Christ, then great things can happen, my friends. And they have. Great things. Psalm 67 says, may the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. If the church could present a united front to the world, I believe we would really see an outpouring of blessings on mankind and on the church and on God's people. The last theme of this benediction is glorifying God. Give God the glory. One of my favorite songs is Andre Crouch's To God Be the Glory, or it is also called My Tribute. It talks about all that God has done for us and what our response should be to that. One part says, just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to you. Sometimes we may worry about what other people think of us. But you know, what's more important than that, much more important than that, is what God thinks of us. I believe that all of us as Christians should have one purpose, and that is to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, to give Him the honor and the glory that He deserves. By now, you should all realize that I believe, personally, that worshiping God is very important. And it's important as to how we think about it, and it's important even more so about how we go about it. If we are offering our worship to God, then we should try to do our best to do it in a way that does what? Pleases Him, because He is the one we are worshiping. Whether it is worship, whether it is daily living, whether it is giving ourselves to the Lord, whatever it might be, we do it for one purpose, and that is to glorify God. Someone would say to us, if we've done something worthwhile, you're a wonderful person, you're a wonderful Christian. How do we respond to that? Do we say, well, I know, thank you, I believe you're right, I am. Or do we say, just give God the glory. It's all His anyway. He belongs to Him. What we do to please God each and every day, whether it is worship or daily living, the main motivation of our lives should be to do all that we do in order to glorify God, to give Him the glory, to point people to Him, to show them how great He is and how wonderful He is, to let the whole wide world know that we serve a mighty God, an awesome God. And I use that word very advisedly. All the themes of this benediction have a common purpose, and Paul goes on to spell that out. It is to give us hope. Hope. What would we do without hope? How would we live without hope? This benediction was spoken over the Christians of Paul's day, basically those who were part of the church in Rome. In Rome, they faced some difficult times because they lived in a very pagan environment, very pagan atmosphere. And they were a very small minority in that place. Paul was saying, in essence, that they had the resources to stand fast, to hold on to their faith, to remain faithful to the one who had called them. We also share that same hope today, my friends. We have that same hope in our hearts, because of Jesus and because of what He's done in our lives. Without it, life would be unbearable, and we might find it hard just to keep on going. Well, to close with this morning, I want to go back to the benediction that Paul gave to us, and I want to make it to you. I want to give you this benediction this morning, and I hope that you will take this personally. Receive it and take it with you. May the God who gives you endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your promises, which are so meaningful and important to us. We thank you for this promise that we find in Paul's benediction to the Christians in Rome and to us as well. Father, help us to receive this with gladness. Help us to receive it in our hearts by faith. And thank you, Father, for all the provisions that you've made for all of us in order to be able to follow Jesus in our lives day by day and to give you the honor and the glory that you deserve. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.